Last week, we started a new sermon series on the road to Easter called Cruciform, Living a Cross-Shaped Life. And last week, if you were here, you will have discovered that cruciform is how they made cathedrals many years past and just means cross-shaped. I'm just trying to be clever. That's all it means. And so we're looking at what does it mean to live a cross-shaped life. On Easter Sunday, we are hopefully going to be celebrating together the empty cross. And last week, we began to think about what does the cross mean to us here and now? And we're using the book of 1 Corinthians as a jumping-off point. How does the cross show us how to live? It shows us what eternity is going to be like and where it's going to be, the place where Jesus gives us new life. But we also discovered last week it's at the cross where we discover how to live now. How to live now, not just at the end of time. So what does it mean to live a cross-shaped life? And today we're thinking about wisdom, how we think. What does a life in Jesus mean to how we look at the world? How we think? We'll be thinking about that today. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, selected verses this morning. So let's pray together before we do that. Lord God, thank you for the grace that covers us. Thank you for the word that reveals Jesus to us. So we pray, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal the cross-shaped life to us. May we, as we think this morning, see Jesus together, and may we be his faithful followers in word and in deed and in wisdom. Holy Spirit, would you work through the word, through our thoughts, through my words, so that together we are your church in obedience and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you were here last week, you will have remembered, hopefully, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Paul has been thinking of the cross as foolishness to everybody else looking in from outside. If you need to catch up listening to that, it's available online. He says the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the wisdom of God. And we continue the theme of wisdom in chapter 2. Let's listen together to God's word together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God's wisdom revealed by the Spirit. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may also become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. May God give us his understanding to that word. So I have a question for you. Are you wise? Sometimes. Let's have a poll in a charismatic way. Stick your hand in the air if you would consider yourself to be a wise person. Okay, thank you, Chris. I was assuming that nobody would put up their hand, because it's that sort of question, isn't it, that, well, nobody's going to want to say, well done for being the one who thinks you are. So, it's like saying, are you humble? Oh, yes, I'm ever so humble. It's one of those questions, isn't it? It sounds like a bit like a brag, doesn't it, saying, oh, yes, I'm wise. What does it mean to live a cross-shaped life that is marked by wisdom? That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. And by the way, because I kind of knew that most of you would not put your hands up, can I say that lots of you are actually very wise, even if you don't think you are yourself. The dictionary describes wisdom as this: the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. The ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. It's different from being intellectually clever and smart. Wisdom is not the same as being a brain box. It's the ability to use what we have lived through and what we know to make wise and good judgments and decisions. That sounds like something that everybody should be wanting for themselves. To take what we know and to use it well. As we all know, we are in the midst of confusing times. Everybody in our world is an expert nowadays. I had a conversation with someone this week, several times the same conversation, not somebody in the manse before you all think it's Paul. same conversation, repeated like Groundhog Day, with this person who, with no medical background whatsoever, claimed to know everything there is to know about the current coronavirus because he's read it on the internet. So, of course, there is truth there. Everybody is an expert, not just to do with the coronavirus, but to do with everything. We live in confusing times. We live in a time of shifting sand culturally and ethically. Opinions are changing rapidly in the world that we live in. What people have seen as absolutes not so long ago are no longer seen in that way. The places where we once thought were trustworthy perhaps are not seen as trustworthy anymore. The church being one of those places. that are polarized views on pretty much everything in our culture at the moment. On the big issues and the little issues of our day. Everybody thinks they know what the answer is. At least everyone on social media behind a keyboard does anyway. So how do we live as wise people shaped by Jesus in the midst of this? How do we live in a society that sometimes is not wise? That's the question Paul was asking to the church at Corinth. And the answer is the cross-shaped life, he says. A wise life is cruciformed shaped. It's a life that looks topsy-turvy to the world. Last week, we talked about the cross being foolish to the world. The cross in the thoughts of the Jews and the Greeks being absolutely bonkers. Who would die on a cross? That's not how you rise to power. Paul is saying, yeah, that does not make sense. But he says, the cross does not make sense. And the only way it makes sense is through the lens of the Holy Spirit. That's what we heard in our reading earlier on. And so we heard Paul continuing where we left off last week. He says, he's speaking about the message of wisdom that isn't always understood. He says, we declare God's wisdom. God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden. I was reading about what some people think this mystery that has been hidden. I was reading some theories on the internet. You see, I do it too. About what is God's wisdom, this mystery that has been hidden. And there's some bonkers views. Bonkers! Some Christians are really weird, aren't they? I don't think if people have fundamentally missed the point. We all got very Da Vinci Code, all very Book of Revelation. But Paul says the context is key. He's been talking about Jesus Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. The secret wisdom that he's talking about is not secret to us. It is Jesus Christ crucified. It is the cross. It's the offer of salvation through Jesus on the cross for the world. It's crystal clear. We have the secret. Crystal clear that Jesus rose from the dead, that his resurrection proves that he has power over death and sin and offers us that same power through the work of the Holy Spirit. But what Paul is saying, that is a mystery to those looking in. It's a mind-blowing thing that they just don't understand. And that's called foolishness. Doesn't make sense at a time when nobody knew what God was up to through the cross. And so people thought it was a secret wisdom. There's a famous poem that summed up who Jesus was. Let me read it to you. Most of you have probably heard this before. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant, grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter's shop till he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book, he never held an office, he never had a family or owned a home, he did not go to college, he never lived in a big city, he never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials in himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away, one of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies, went through the mockery of a trial, and he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, and the only property he had on earth was a robe. When he was dead, he laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. We know that now, but when Paul was writing, the impact of Jesus had not really yet been felt apart from in the church, and looking on, it seemed madness. To put all your hope in this person who, by the world's standards, had nothing. Nothing. No great power. No great wealth. By the world's wisdom, looking in, why would we follow this person who dies on a cross, who is abandoned and is in a borrowed grave? But we believe that through all of that, that one person who, by the world's wisdom, does not seem to have much, that one man who is Jesus achieves the salvation of the world. And that does not make sense looking in by the world's wisdom. And Paul is saying, well, no, it doesn't. And that's why our wisdom is different. The world's wisdom says that the spoils always go to the strong, the powerful, and the influential. Jesus does not say that. He rides a donkey. He wields a carpenter's hammer. He gets on his hands and knees and washes feet and goes to a cross. That is our Jesus. He overturns the values and the wisdom of the world and turns everything upside down. And says that the way to succeed is upside down. To get to the top involves a bended knee and open arms. And that's what a cross-shaped life looks like. It's a life that gives power away. It's power through weakness. It's life through death. That is a different wisdom to the way our world thinks. And Paul says that's a cross-shaped wisdom. A God who suffers and loses through death to accomplish the salvation of the world. The cross is the most fundamental thing to our faith. It is the central symbol. And to the Corinthians, they could not see its whole importance because it didn't look like anything that they held as important. Paul is saying that God's secret wisdom is Christ crucified. And he's reminding the church that you move away from that at your peril. If you move away from that central figure of Christ crucified, you will lose the upside-down way of wisdom. And we can only understand it, he says, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says this, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" Now, I could ask you if you know what I'm thinking at this moment. Let's try that. Does anyone know what I'm thinking about at this moment? Let's have a think. What am I thinking about at this moment? Gary Barlow is suggesting on the front row. Any other thoughts? Coffee. I love coffee. Cake. And what do you all think of me? Isn't that interesting as a snapshot? Nobody said, "Oh, Louise, you're thinking holy thoughts. You're clearly thinking of Jesus." No one suggests that. Thanks, guys. I was actually thinking about how long it is before we got to the end of the service. Anyway, but it's true, isn't it? Nobody knows what we're thinking about at any given time apart from us, apart from what we are thinking of. And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We don't know God's thoughts, but the amazing thing is that we're allowed into them through the power of the Holy Spirit, who opens up the mind of God for us. The other places in the New Testament say this as well. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. And that rocks my world. It rocks my world that we are let into the very mind of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, who reveals the mind and the heart of God to us and says, this is a new way of looking at the world, a new way of wisdom. He opens up our minds so that we can understand the power of the cross. The Holy Spirit does that for us. If you're here today and you believe in the cross, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and took the penalty for your sin on himself and died your death, but did not stay dead and rose again, lives at the right hand of the Father now praying for you and me, if you believe that, it's not because you've got a theology degree. It's not because you're particularly clever. It's because the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. Chris, I'm going to use you as an illustration. A few weeks ago, did not believe, but the work of the Holy Spirit has been showing you things, hasn't he? Thinking, hang on, well, that makes sense, or did not realize that. He's had loads of penny drop moments when all of a sudden things have been clear. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Remember what we said last week, that Paul said to the church, there's more of Corinth in the Christians than there was of Christ. And Paul says that's a horrifying thing for the church, to have more of the culture in them than of Christ. He was saying you can't tell they were church because they were becoming no different in the way they thought, in the way they lived, in the way they spoke than the world around them. I wonder if the same can be said of us, that there's more of our culture in us than there is of Christ. What does that say to you? Are we living in a way that marks us out as different? I almost want to say how many of you panic bought your toilet rolls this week. Don't go. I did. I didn't. But that's an illustration. Are we different? Do we think differently that attracts people to Jesus? There's more of Corinth in the Christians than there was of Christ. We are called to live and to think differently, to keep our eyes focused on the hope that is set before us and in the cross of Christ, to be living by a different wisdom, by a different mindset, by different values. And that takes prayer, that takes courage, that takes allowing the Holy Spirit to hold up a mirror to our lives and say, really? Really? And that takes courage to be different and to live different, to change how the way we see success and beauty and importance, all of that is changed when we look through the lens of Christ and his wisdom. We are called to live a cross-shaped life. Paul says, do not deceive yourself. If any of you think you're wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. May we be people who think differently, who live differently, because we have been shaped by Jesus. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank and praise you that you help us to see Jesus, that you help us see the cross and its beauty. Thank you that you have met us and you have revealed Jesus to us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to do that. Lord God, would you show us those places and those times and those things in our life where we are not living by Christ's wisdom, but are living by the world's wisdom. And would you continue to transform and to shape us to be more like Jesus?